Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
And I've got a devotional word I want to share with you. I have shared this word before, but this just leaped out at me when I was reading the Word of God. This just came out, and we're going to hop around two places here. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and then I'm going to go over to John chapter 4. Acts chapter 1 and John chapter 4. So I want to give everybody just a second to join us here via by Facebook Live, those that would wish to join us here on a live broadcast before we elaborate on what we're going to be talking about so we don't repeat ourselves several times here. So I want to welcome and greet many of you guys that are coming on here. It's good to see you, Jessica and Kathy and Lisa and many others that will be joining us tonight. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know that you're new below under the Facebook Live comments. If you're watching this by YouTube, please let us know as well that you are new to the broadcast, and we will welcome you. We want to gladly welcome you to the broadcast tonight. Again, if this is your first time, again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder of The Voice and the pastor of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. All right, so let's get into this thing, guys. Give me about 25 minutes. I really want to plow into this. I want to talk about, don't get caught with your eyes in the clouds, but keep your eyes on the fields. Let me say that again. Don't get caught with your eyes in the clouds, but keep them on the fields. All right, so you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let's go to John chapter 4. Before we go to the book of Acts, let's go to John chapter 4, and I'm going to read this verse here. This is Jesus speaking. He says to his disciples in John chapter 4, verse 34, John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes harvest? Behold," listen to this, "behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." So now keep that. I'm going to put a little bookmark here because I'm going to jump back over to that. Now let's go to the book of Acts. Now keep in mind, he said, look up, lift up your eyes and look at something. He said, what did he say look at? He said, look at the fields, for they are ripe. They are white. They are ready for harvest. What is he talking about? He's talking about souls. He's talking about the harvest of souls is ready. It's ripe. It's ready for the pickings. It's ready for you to swing your sickle and bring in the harvest. All right. So now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up." Somebody say he was taken up. "After he threw," now notice this, it says he was taken up, but before he was taken up, he did something. Here's what he did. "Through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now in verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." That's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "Which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I want to stop right here because when I get to this next part, many people take it out of context, and I'll explain that in just a second. When he says, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were looking for a military leader. They were looking for a king that would establish the kingdom of Israel. They were looking for someone to rule and reign and bring them out of the tyranny of Rome. And they would rule and reign, and he would be their king. He would be their ruler. And this is what they meant when they said, are you at this time going to restore? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now listen, keep that in mind in this context. And then Jesus says, and he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now someone will read that scripture and they'll say, well, Brother Ricky, that's what that's Jesus is telling us, that we as the body of believers, we are as the body of Christ should not pertain or should not, we should not be spending our time looking and searching the scriptures and trying to discern the times of the seasons, and we should not be looking for his return. We should not be looking for his coming. We should not be looking for signs of the coming of the Lord. There's preachers all over the internet, Facebook, social media, Christian networks that will preach that right there. They'll take that scripture and they'll run with that and tell you and I that we as a body of Christ should not be looking for the signs of his coming. That's not what he said there, because if that was truly what he implied here and what he meant, he would have not given them the entire discourse of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 when they said, what shall be the signs of your coming and the end of the age. He would have stopped them right there and said, boys, I want to tell you something. It is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father put in his own authority. But he did not do that. Instead, he answered their question. So again, I wanted to elaborate that. But watch what it says here. It is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I want to put a little spin on this and say, let's just say for argument's sake that someone would imply that, well, what if he is talking about the signs of the coming of the Lord and the seasons of his coming? Well, the emphasis of what I get out of this, and this is what the Holy Spirit showed me in my own devotion, is that, and let me read the rest of this, and then I'll really elaborate on this. So I want to, again, put a little bookmark there, and we'll go back. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, somebody say they watched, okay? He, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, when we read this, we automatically think that he's talking about a puffy cloud, a puffy white cloud that you see when you look outside. But when you look at the Greek understanding of this and you understand the context of the Greek idioms that were used all through the scriptures, it is used all through the scriptures, you'll discover that he wasn't talking about a puffy white cloud here. Let me prove it to you. Watch this. Let me read on the rest of this and I'm going to show you something. When they had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, were they looking towards heaven? As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And here's what they said. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now let's go back. There's so much stuff on this I want to dig into. The word cloud here is not, I'm going to prove to you that it is not a cloud, a puffy white cloud. Okay. If you go over here to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud, there's your word cloud again, of witnesses. Now, this gives you a little bit more detail. A cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every sin, or let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word cloud in the Greek understanding of this was the understanding of when there was Roman legions, for example, when there was Roman armies, they would use the term cloud. Here comes a great cloud of Roman soldiers. It was a Greek idiom. It's kind of like the word sleep. When you read the word sleep in the New Testament, it's not talking about sleeping in your bed. It's talking about death. We shall not all sleep. It's talking about death. It talks about that in communion. For this reason, some are weak and some are sick and even some sleep. And he's talking about death. He's talking about dead. He's not talking about sleeping in your bed. So it's an idiom used. This word cloud, when you put it in this context, watch this. A great cloud of witnesses. Now, who is this great cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded about with? I'm going to tell you who it is. It is the saints, come on, that's already went on before us, that are waiting for us to finish our race so that they may greet us when we step into glory. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Now, listen to me. Let me go over to the book of Acts chapter 1 again. Let's back up. Let's take a little bit of a trip here backward. Back before Acts chapter 1, before the dissension of Jesus Christ. Before the dissension was the crucifixion. And if you'll remember in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He gave up the Spirit. The Bible says when this happened, There was darkness that covered the land. There was a great earthquake that was so great and tremendous that it split the veil of the temple down the middle. And your Bible says that the graves of many of the saints of old were opened and many of them were seen walking about. Now, we read this and we skip over this and we never think about where did these saints go? Where did these individuals go that were raised? Where did the first fruits of the resurrection? Where did these individuals go? Because when Jesus kicked the bottom out of the grave, when he gave up the Spirit, the Bible says that he went in the book of Ephesians, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went into Abraham's bosom. He preached to the spirits of the dead there, led captivity captive, led them out. This is why the Bible says the graves were open and those individuals came out of the graves. Now, where did they go from that point forward? I propose to you that when Jesus was taken up right here in Acts chapter 1, I believe the cloud is the cloud of witnesses like we read about in Hebrews 12. It's the cloud, it's the gathering, it's the army of saints that kicked the bottom out of the grave at the cross, at the crucifixion, that came out and they went up with him. They received Jesus. He came with them and went and descended into heaven. But that's not what I even want to preach about tonight. That was just kind of a little bit of an extra there, a bonus. Here's what I want to talk about. Notice the implication here in Acts chapter 1. Let me go back to this. He tells you, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in your own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is he saying? He's echoing the words that he said in the book of John chapter 4. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. So what I'm trying to tell you today, guys, don't get so hung up with your eyes in the clouds that you forget about, come on, the fields. Let me say that again. Now, this is the perfect word for end time headlines. We've got so many people, so many folks that are all about keeping their eyes on the clouds, but they neglect and they forget about the fields. And I can prove it to you, because every single time a disaster hits, every single time an event happens, every single time some trouble comes, they say, I'm ready to go, blow the trumpet, split the veil, come through, come out, stand over the banister, come on, call us home, Jesus, I'm ready to come back. And they totally neglect their family. They despise their neighbors. They don't. It's almost as if they're self-absorbed so much to the point where their eyes are so focused on the clouds that they forget about the fields. This is one of the main, can I tell you this, guys? This is one of the main arguments that I get as a pre-tribulation, or we'll even say a rapture. It don't even have to be pre-trib. It could be a rapture-believing preacher. One of the arguments I always get from those who disagree, or they don't believe in a rapture of the church, or they don't believe in the pre-trib or even mid-trib. One of their main arguments against this is they will tell you that people who are pre-tribulation believers neglect the fields because they're so busy with their eyes in the clouds. They're so busy looking for the signs, looking for his coming, always looking for the next disaster, looking for the Antichrist, looking for the false prophet, looking for the mark of the beast, looking for the next earthquake, looking for the next, come on, way out, that they neglect the fields, they neglect the harvest, they neglect the souls, they neglect the lost. Now, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, that is not the case. For me, come on, it puts more of an unction in me. Because if I truly believe what I'm preaching to you, there's even more of a desire for me to go into the field, go into the harvest, and swing the sickle and preach the gospel and try to get them in. Come on, get them in the ark and get the door shut before the flood comes. Can I get an amen from somebody? Can I get a witness tonight? Okay, so there's got to be a balance. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's okay. Listen to me. It's okay to want to know the times and seasons that we're in. The sons of Issachar possessed that gift. They possessed that knowledge. They understood the times and seasons. But at the same time, friends, don't neglect the fields. Let me talk about this. These two men standing there in white apparel look at the disciples that were standing there, and they said, why do you stand gazing into heaven? Now I'm going to, man, I just got to check in my spirit. It's okay. Woo, I didn't even have this in my notes, but I just felt the Holy Ghost just speak this to me. It's okay, come on, to set your eyes on heaven, but just don't get caught standing still. He said, why do you stand gazing into heaven? In other words, Jesus said, occupy till I come. In other words, keep your eyes on the field, and while you're working in the field, while you're swinging the sickle, while you're preaching the gospel, come on, from time to time, look up. Jesus even said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. So I'm not telling you tonight not to look, not to watch, and not keep sober and vigilant, be watchful in prayer. I'm not telling you that tonight. But just as these two men stood there, they said, don't stand there, keep walking. Come on. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, though I stand in. He wasn't standing in the valley. He was walking through the valley. Come on. We're walking through the fields that are ripe and that are ready to be, come on, harvested. Don't stand there and be stagnant and be immovable and not be any kingdom good or any kingdom worth. Don't just stand there. Keep moving. Keep occupying till it comes. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep sowing the seed. Keep watering the seed through prayer and intercession. Keep being the light. Keep being the salt. And come on, it's okay to look for the signs of his coming. But don't just get caught standing. But watch this. He says, "Why?" I love this. "Why do you stand gazing into heaven?" And listen what he says. This same Jesus who's being taken up from you into heaven is going to come in the same manner as you see him go into heaven. Now, watch this. If you go over, let me show you where he's talking about. If you go over to the book of Jude, listen what the book of Jude says in Jude 14. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying," listen to this, "behold, the Lord comes." He's coming. Where's he coming from? He's coming out of heaven. Because he ascended to heaven, to the third heaven, to the throne room of God. He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father. He's a high priest making intercession for you and I. He's forever making atonement for us. Or he made the atonement one time at the cross. But he is the high priest that atones for our sins. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Listen to this. He says, "Now Enoch prophesied and said, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." Folks, can I tell you something? When Jesus comes back, I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but I'm not going to elaborate on this, so just be thankful, because it would take me 30 minutes just to preach on this one little thing here. But there's the first appearance is not going, not everybody's going on the first ship. The first ship, he comes for the saints. The first appearance, he comes with the saints. Rewind. Let's start over. I'll probably edit that out on YouTube. That's the wonders of Facebook Live. I'm getting tongue-tied. My brain is getting ahead of my mouth, or my mouth's getting ahead of my brain. Let's stop and slow this thing down. The first appearance, he comes for the saints. The second appearance, which is what's being talked about here in the book of Jude, and what is being elaborated there in Acts chapter 1, he comes with the saints. Let me say that again. The first appearance, he comes for the saints. The second appearance, he comes with the saints. The first appearance, not every eye is going to see him, but only those who are looking for his appearance. The overcomers will be those who are caught up. 1 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 4. The second appearance, listen what he says. "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." He comes with the saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Where does that event tie in? And it ties in, let me go over here, to the book of Thessalonians. Hold on, bear with me, because I didn't plan on talking about this, but I guess we'll talk about it. Hold on for just a second. Let me turn there. And this is a newer Bible too, so I don't have all this marked out. So you just hold on here for a second. Here it is. Let's see. Here we go. But let's see, it's a pregnant woman. No, this is not it. Hold on. Let me go over to 2 Thessalonians. We got to find this, because I got to show you. Here it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch this. All right, let me go up here. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains shall do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord..." Watch this. The lawless one that's revealed is the Antichrist. Now watch this. "The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." This is the second advent, the second appearing of Christ. And in this event, the saints come with him. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It says he destroys with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. All right? So let me go over here, back over here to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want to go back over here, Acts chapter 1, because this is our foundational for our devotional tonight. Again, we're going to pull this home here. Let's pull this back home here. This is what we're talking about. We don't want to be guilty of being one of these individuals who are so heavenly minded. Can I say this? So heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Now, we've heard that phrase. If you've been in church in any amount of time, you've heard this. But it's always been about somebody, in the context of that saying, it's always somebody that's so super spiritual that they can't function in normal living. But I'm going to say this, in this context, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. What I mean by that is don't be so caught up in the clouds with your head stuck in the clouds looking for his coming that we neglect. Come on, don't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. That we neglect, come on, what the entire commission is. The Great Commission. Our commandment that was given to us is what? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Come on, somebody. That's what the commandment is. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I know it's a little bit different tonight, but this is what really leaped out at me tonight. And I felt like the Lord really just prompted me to minister on this tonight, because I do believe there's a lot of people out there that even may be watching this by Facebook and watching this by YouTube. And you maybe you fall in that category, maybe you've been guilty of this. You've been so heavenly minded that you've neglected the harvest. You've neglected the souls. You begin to forget about your loved ones. You begin to forget about those you work with. You begin to forget about those that are lost and they're dying and they're on their way to a devil's hell. And your whole focus has been, well, Lord, get me out of here. Blow that trumpet. Split the heavens. Let the archangel come out and tell him I'm ready for the trumpet. I'm ready to get out here. You're looking for an escape way out. And again, I'm not bashing the rapture of the church, guys. I believe in the rapture. I preach it and teach it. You know this. Anybody that's been with this any time, any length of time, you know that I'm a pre-tribulation preacher. But I'm trying to bring us around, because I don't want myself and I don't want any of you guys, to be guilty of what many of the accusers accuse us of. And that is to be so heavily minded that we neglect, come on, our Great Commission here on earth. So we don't want to be guilty of that. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are watching tonight by YouTube and via by Facebook. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody watching this tonight, Lord God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to just touch our hearts and quicken us and stir us up in remembrance, and remember that our mandate is to witness the gospel, to be light, to be salt, and to go into the harvest, swing that sickle, and get these souls into the kingdom of heaven. That's what the greatest of importance is in this hour and time in which we're in. Lord, if our hearts are ready, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are blood bought, we're ready, and we are overcoming. Lord, we will be ready at his coming. We will not be as the foolish virgins, but we will be as the wise, with oil in our lamps and our wicks trimmed. But while we're waiting, let us not be guilty of standing still and looking up, but let us be mobile. Let us be productive and moving forward and looking at the field that is ripe for the picking, ripe for the harvest, and continue to do and labor in what God has called us to do, and doing the will of the Father and saving that which is lost. And Father, we thank you tonight and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Do you receive this tonight? Amen and amen. Look, guys, God bless you again. Thank you for joining us. Again, if you'd like to know more information on our ministry, you can visit us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys, via by watching by Facebook, if you click on the link under support and follow ETH, you're going to see a link there. If you'll click on that link on the main website, there's going to be places there that you can subscribe to email notifications, push notifications. You can support this ministry with a gift of any amount. Again, if you're watching by Facebook Live, the link's there. If you're watching by YouTube, you can go again to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org. All that information is going to be up there. And there's a physical mailing address. All that's there. If you want to give electronically, there's a link that's provided. You can click on there and you can do that as well. So again, tomorrow night, guys, 6 p.m. Eastern, we're coming back to Cornerstone Community Church right there in Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be ministering tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern. And I'm looking forward to being with several of you that will be joining us there. We've got some folks from Kentucky, from Ohio, from Indiana, so different locations there locally. And we're excited about the message that I know what I'm going to be ministering on tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to spending that time with many of you that will be there present in the meetings tomorrow night. So, but for the rest of you guys, we're going to sign off for this weekend, and we will be back on here on probably on Monday, Lord willing, and we will bring you another word, another devotional word of encouragement or a prophetic update, depending on what transpires and what goes on, and we'll just keep an eye on things. Until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. God bless.